couple of us are good. How about the rest of us? Take it one step at a time. Could we all stand together and get ready to worship God? There we go. We got a little more noise. Father, we thank you that we could come into your house this morning, God. I pray, God, that you would draw us out, draw us in. Father God, that we would bless you this morning with everything that's inside of us. God, we would give you the best praise, the best worship, the best honor, God, because you are worthy of that. We pray, God, that you would just be able to enter in, that your spirit would be able to walk up and down the aisles, and God, that you would have your way. God, that you would have your way, that people would be set free, and God, that we would just glorify and honor you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Solid rock, let me stand on the mountain top until the storm blows over. I'm still standing here.
Set my feet on the solid rock, let me stand on the mountain top until the storm blows over and I'm still standing here. Set my feet on the solid rock. Till the storm blows over, and I'm still standing here.
Come on, sing.
Set my feet on the solid rock. Let me stand on the mountaintop till the storm blows over, and I'm still standing.
I said we serve a God that's unshakable, amen. I said we serve a God who is unshakable, amen. Not only is he unshakable, but he's unstoppable. I said my God is unstoppable. Believe that nothing shall be impossible. Come on, sing it with me. You guys know this.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go.
On and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go. On and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Sing it again.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go.
Sing it out.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go.
On and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go.
Glory. We worship you, Father, for you are a God of wonders. Thank you. you are. Sing God of wonders.
God of wonders, beyond our galaxy.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are holy. Holy.
The universe declares your majesty. You are.
God of wonders,
God
precious Lord, reveal yours to me. Father, hold me. Hold me. The universe declares your majesty. You are. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul.
just in case by now you haven't realized, we've been singing about how vast our God is. How generous our God is. It is the year of generosity, you know. And I think that if we really come to the place where we realize how great our God is, I think worship was easy for us. It'll just come naturally. When you see how great our God is, all the world will begin to see how great. How great. I said, how great. How great. How great. How great is our God. Come on, let's sing with me. The split. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Oh, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. Age to time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, for he is Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great, hallelujah,
is our God.
Won't you sing with me?
How great is our God.
And all will see.
How great
is our God. spirit this morning that God wants to deliver people the next time we sing through this song of anything that you have had going on in your life. I'm talking habitual sins. What if you're dealing with pornography, if you're dealing with tobacco habits, alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be, I believe that God is such a great God that all you have to do is lay it on the altar this morning. Now, listen. I want to tell you, if you can lay it physically on the altar, do it. But if you cannot lay it physically on the altar, you need to make your way by the altar this morning, because I believe it. I have struggled with it. I was trying to get pastor's attention to ask if I could do this, and God just said, do it. So we're going to sing it again. And when we sing it again, if you want to be delivered from things that you have been battling for years, I believe that God is here to deliver you, because he's a great God. Now sing.
Oh, great is our God.
Lay it on the altar this morning.
Sing with me how
come on, come on. Throw it at the feet of Jesus.
God.
Yes, I say.
Oh, we'll see how great
yes.
is our God.
Sing it again. When you lay it on the altar, you got to pick up something else. Amen. You got to find something else to replace that void. So I want to tell you what to replace it with. The great God that I serve. The great God that is on the throne every day. The great God who never lets me down. The great God that I don't have to recover from. The great God that if I go through a withdrawal, it would be a good one. Amen. So sing it again.
Oh, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Now let me hear you sing. Let me hear you sing. Jehovah Rapha.
Oh, see
he's
how
my Jehovah Shalom. Yes, he is.
How great, great is our God.
Here's our last time. Last time with everything that's in you.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's healing some people this morning. As an individual,
you're having problems in your jaw. It's from side to side, and it's affecting, the best way I can describe it, almost feels like your tongue is tired. And God's going to heal you this morning. I have no clue what that is, but I can just only tell you exactly what it feels like. And there's another individual, your gluteus maximus, on the right side, about halfway down. It feels like there's a ball in there, and God is going to heal you. And it's painful. You're not walking in extreme pain, but it's always discomfort, and God's going to heal you this morning. There's another individual from the mid-thigh on the right side, past over top of the kneecap, down about 2 inches from there. God's going to heal your leg. Another individual at the bottom of your left foot on the back side where the Achilles tendon, I believe, is attached. It's almost like a triangle down there. God's healing that as well. If that's any of you, just raise your hand to heaven right now. God, I release healing right now in the name of Jesus. God, you don't reveal unless you're going to heal. So, God, I thank you that right now the healing power of Jesus is being released right now to heal the bodies. God, specifically those. But, Lord, if you'll heal one in this room, you'll heal every single one in this room. So, Jesus, by the power of your name, we speak right now to backs. I command backs to be made whole by the power of God. I command discs to be restored and healed by Jesus' name. I declare right now that those dealing with arthritis, I rebuke the spirit of arthritis in the name of Jesus. God, those dealing with cancer, I command cancer to come out right now in Jesus' name. Father, those that are dealing with mind and even physical problems in their brains, I command right now restoration and healing by the power of God. Lord, those that are struggling with organ failure, I declare organs come alive right now in Jesus' name. You have no right to remain dead in the presence of God, for He is the resurrection and the life. God, we give you glory and honor this morning, for you are an awesome God. How great is our God? I said, how great is your God? How great is your God? Hallelujah. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell these five people how great your God is. Give a testimony for Jesus this morning. Don't be a snob. Make sure you don't go sit down. Go meet five people you don't know and tell them, my God is great. If you're in middle school, I want you to go out right off the backside, grades 7 through 9. We have a class just for you. Pastor Cody will be ministering to you specifically. Make sure you make your way in the back. Go right out the back. Grades 7 through 9. Grades 7 through 9.
One, Rock Solid Faith, happens every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, and every Thursday night. You want to make sure you sign up. You can go online, histabernacle.com. You can click on Next Steps, sign up, register, or you can just show up to class. Make sure you sign up today for Next Steps.
Them a vision for you. He and she is the mouthpiece of God.
One sent with definite authority, definite mission.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How's everybody doing this morning? We want to welcome you to the 11 a.m. service. Come on, give your God, give your King of Kings a shout of praise. Amen? Amen, amen. Before we get into some of the announcements, if you attended the Women's Encounter Reunion this weekend, if you could just get up to your feet and just come up on stage and give a shout while you come up, because I know y'all were changed and blessed forever. Awesome. As they come up, we want to welcome our guests. If you are a first-time guest, can you just raise your hand? We can just wave at you. Raise your hands in the air. Wave it like you don't care. Awesome. Amen. Amen. If you did not receive a guest packet, keep your hand up in the air. We want to get one of those to you. All right. Let's come on. Let's give a hand for our guests. Amen. We have one over here. I believe there's another one back here. If y'all could just keep your hands up, please. We do not want to miss one person. Awesome. You will find in your guest packet a golden ticket. That is to our guest reception. We want to invite you and your family over to this side of the building after the service. You can meet with the pastors, have some coffee, have some desserts, and just get to know us a little bit better. All right? So we cannot wait to fellowship with you. Live stream, we love you. Come on, give it up for live stream. We love you guys. As Pastor shared last service, there are 5,100 people that are watching us on TV. That is awesome. And we now have the opportunity to reach into international waters. So we cannot wait for that. Amen? All right. So starting tomorrow, Monday afternoon through Tuesday evening, there will be an adult clothing giveaway in the foyer. So come out. It does not matter who you are, how much you need. Just come out and get some adult clothing. Again, that will be in the foyer tomorrow afternoon through Tuesday evening. Next, we have the Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit. If you're excited about that, make some noise. Now, this does have the term pastors in it, but again, this is for everybody. Business leaders, church volunteers. If you got breath, you need to be at this conference, okay? So you can go and register on empoweringpastorsummit.com or hunt me down and I will get you signed up. Who is excited about the youth of this region? Come on. Yeah. We are so thankful that in that Uproar Conference, it is rocking, and you have an opportunity to partner with Pastor Cody and the rest of the team. You can meet them outside after our second service, and for $20 a month or more, you can partner and begin to reach and touch the youth across the nation. Amen? Amen. Who's ready to hear about the Women's Encounter?
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. If you have never taken time and money to get away and have an encounter with God, you are missing it. So this past weekend, we have been on our encounter reunion. So this is our second encounter that we've invested in, and God has done powerful things. The very next encounter that's coming up is June 8th. Carla, help me. 9th and 10th. 8th, 9th, and 10th, and there are only 14, maybe not even, slots left at this point. So make sure you invest. I'm going to ask these ladies just to share one sentence of what God spoke to them this weekend, and we can't even capture it in one sentence.
He said, I am capable. He said that I am courageous and that I can do what he called me to do in ministry without fear of what anyone else thinks.
Amen. He said, I'm moving forward this year. Woo-hoo!
God has empowered me to love those who love me and to love those who do not love me.
God has forgiven me, and he has also forgiven all of you for all of eternity.
Amen. He said, I am worthwhile.
Amen. He said that alone time with him is a gift, not a punishment.
Worship today was what he said to me.
Exactly. It's so true.
He said, things that I easily let go of before, things such as bad behavior, rebellion, and drinking, I can easily let go of those things now, which would be small things in our minds like fear and doubt and unbelief.
God said, if we honor, he will judge.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. God told me that I am self-confident. He reassured me and told me that the devil is a liar.
Amen.
God told me, he confirmed it again on the second encounter, same message twice, that I am my only me, and I'm wonderful the way that I am.
I am whole. Mm-hmm. I walk in favor, not fear.
Yep. That's
right. That's awesome. There's always a new, fresh level with Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not as mature as I thought I was.
Ouch, I think we all learned that one. That was the theme of our weekend, was going to a level of maturity, and God has certainly taken us there this weekend. He has done what man could not do in 37 years. In one moment, broke things off. God is awesome. When you take time to get away with him, he meets with you and does impossible things. So watch these ladies. These are leaders. These are servants in the house of God. They have come so far. Do you think it was a waste of your time and money to go to Encounter? Are you the same people you were before you went to Encounter? No. Amen. Thank you so much, Lee. Oh, yeah. So just some of the ladies here, before they went to Encounter, one of our, I can't tell you that. Anyways, it's secret. I can't tell you what we do. But Julia, before she went to Encounter, wasn't really serving in any major capacity. She was just faithful on the front row. And God has now put her as the head of women's ministries in the church. And we've already had one gathering, and there's another one this Friday. So get ready to have some fellowship. And Michelle, she's now, you see her every single week up singing on the worship team. That came out of her encounter with God. Who else? Oh, Susan Bull's not here this one. Ah, Susan Bull is now, oh, she's standing right out there. She's hearing me talk about her right now. She's now running the children's ministry. She would have never thought when she went to encounter that that's what God had for her. So many different ones. You teach in the women's Bible study. Mindy has taken over our salvation and discipleship team. What's that? Oh, Pastor's just acting up here. So God has moved so many into a place of serving in the kingdom of God. And now we're not just serving, we're walking in maturity. Whew. And that's not easy. Nobody's given us a bottle and carrying us around anymore. We are unstoppable and immovable. One of Pastor Andrea's quotes were, because of Jesus, I win. Because of Jesus, I win every time. So as we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, this morning, I want you just to pause and take a minute and recognize what it is that you're doing. You're not just putting an envelope into a plate. When you bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord, you are entering into covenant kingdom finances. It is not just an act. And so many times we can come in and just throw that piece of paper in, just knowing that we're being obedient. But I want you to stop and recognize this morning, when you put that piece of paper
into the bucket that you are entering into covenant with kingdom finances. Expect the favor of God. Expect blessings to come. Know that it is not just a flippant thing that you are doing. It is powerful. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. And again, when you say this today, because we do it every week, it's easy for it just to be a ritual. When you say this today, I want you to declare it, to prophesy it, to speak it. We aren't just doing a flippant act this morning. We are expecting, when we put our obedience in that plate, that we are entering into the covenant of kingdom finances where the blessings chase us down. So repeat after me. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings and cut a covenant with God's kingdom finances this morning. Expect something to happen when you put your finances in the plate. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us. You can click on the giving button or text to give.
Heaven thundered and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you fall. Faith commanded and the mountains roll.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? I love Jesus. You know, he's always there. We're just so blessed to be part of a body of believers that are truly Pentecostal. I want you to know that we are not ashamed of Pentecost. We believe in speaking in other tongues. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the power of God can knock you off your toenails. Amen. We believe and we are not ashamed. It's by the blood of Jesus and Jesus only that you are saved. There's no other name under heaven which you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. We are not ashamed of the gospel. I do want to let you know that we were out of books for Rock Solid Faith for a while, and we just got a shipment in this week of 10. There are only 3 blue ones left and 1 red one left. That's all. So if you would like one, then you're going to need to go out to the foyer and purchase them there. And if you would like one and there aren't any more, let us know. We're going to order some more. What's that? Yeah, I want to remind you, Empowering Pastors starts not this Monday, but next Monday. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe that? It is going to be phenomenal. You do not want to miss it. Dr. David Ireland, you know what? He offered last year to coach me. Now, I mean, what an awesome privilege. He pastors a church of 7,000, and he is world-renowned with his gifts and the anointing that he travels with. And he's offered, last year offered, and pretty much any time we can, is to be coached by him. And I believe in the Lord that this year we'll be able to do that. That will be phenomenal. You know why? Because we're not going to be 1,000 people. We're believing God that when the next building goes up, that will seat 1,999. We do 1,999 because this New York State laws change at 2,000. So we'll bring it up to the one. Amen? And we're going to fill that twice. The building you're in is going to be completely the youth facility. We're going to be having a Christian school in here. Now, what do I mean by Christian school? It's going to be a Pentecostal Christian school. We're going to get the kids baptized in the Holy Ghost, get them knowing and laying hands on sick folk, getting them healed, amen? We're going to train up the kids. We believe that there needs to be a Pentecostal. There isn't one remaining. It's all gone. It closed in Elmira. So we need a Pentecostal Bible Christian school, amen? We also thank God for our Bible school and Pastor Obina Igbo. Where is he? Where'd he go? Pastor Igbo, where are you? Right on the front row. Hi, stand up, wave at everybody. We have a Bible school in this church, and he's the dean, a phenomenal dean, and the classes are amazing. They're not Sunday school. You don't take them in Sunday school. So if you would like to invest in the pastors that are coming in, we have pastors from Kentucky, pastors from Illinois, pastors from New York State, and local pastors this year are actually saying they're coming. So if you would like to invest in this conference, just raise your hand up. You cannot invest any greater ground than investing in a local pastor or a pastor because they are touching hundreds themselves. So if you would like to sow, just raise your hand. The ushers are in the aisle. They'll hand one to you. And then the plates will be in the back. We're not going to take a separate offering, but this is your time to sow into them. Amen? Why do I give you that opportunity? Some people have complained that we ask too much for money, and I just want to address that. I did last week. I'll do it again, because if you have definitely never been to another church if you think we ask a lot for finances. You know, we ask for tithes and offerings. Why? Because that's God's command. And then the other opportunities are great opportunities for you to sow. And the people that usually complain are the people that don't sow. They're not sowers. In fact, they usually don't tithe. So I want to challenge you in that you don't ever want to get mad or bothered when the preacher talks about finances. You want to get excited, because if they're giving you an opportunity to sow, you know that you will have also an opportunity to reap. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen. I said amen. Amen. This is the year of. Well, let's just get to that, huh? This is the year of generosity. Amen. We're talking about you and I being people that God will use. I want to remind you, the word generosity does not mean need. The word generosity means above and beyond what you ever expected. And our God is a generous God. Can I hear an amen? Our God is so good, he's never given us just what we need. He's always given us a bumper crop. Can I hear an amen? That God will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. Today, I want to start a series. It's going to be a short series, but I want to start a movement. Has everybody ever heard of a movement before? We're going to start a movement. Turn to someone and say, we're going to start a movement. Now, I had a teacher in Bible school. She had a movement. One day, she was teaching us the book called The Divine Romance. Anybody ever read that book, The Divine Romance? It's a great book on creation, but on like a storybook style. Really cool book. And so one day she comes to class, and she stood in front of the class, and she's so sweet, you know. She said, well, praise the Lord, you know, the other day, I know we're all reading this book together, and the other day I was reading the book in the bathroom, and I was just so moved. Yep, that was the end of the class. Amen. That was the whole end of the class. It was done. She was moved, all right. So we're going to start a movement, and we're going to bring change to our region. Can I hear an amen? Your circle of influence is going to be affected by you. But before we can create a movement, we must believe that the movement is for us. And today I want to start talking about generous interruptions. You see, God is a God of generosity, and he loves to interrupt our lives. I love the fact that God has reached us where many times we weren't expecting him to touch us. How many of you have had a divine or generous interruption in your life? Amen. If you've been born again, that's you. Raise your hand. That's all right. I mean, that's where God has interrupted your life. We're running 1,000 miles an hour, and God will stop us. He'll interrupt us with his generosity, the generosity of his blood that washes our sins away, the generosity of his grace that gives us the power to live the life of God, the generosity of the Holy Ghost and the baptism. We can pray in other tongues and bring forth the power of God, the generosity of the supernatural where you can be used in the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, the generosity. The generosity of God is that you will not be weak here on this planet, but that you will be strong as a child of the Most High King. Can I hear an amen? One of the main things that we've got to shift this year is we have been combating a spirit of poverty. I hate the spirit of poverty. I am one that not only lived in it, I preached it for years. And when I found that the spirit of poverty keeps the body of Christ down, I began to get a hatred towards this spirit. Now, I'm not talking about just an idea. I'm telling you now, there is an actual spirit of poverty. There is a spirit of poverty that will come upon a region and will actually keep it under thumb. We'll keep them always in lack. We'll keep them in a mindset. You know, one thing I've found about this region is that many people have never left the flood. People have never left the flood. The flood was over 40 years ago. Well, you know, Elmira. Well, you know, Chemung County. Well, you know, it's just there's really no hope and we're all just poor. I'm telling you now that God can make the poor rich, that God can bring in business through you, that God can prosper you to a position where you'll have influence to change this region. It's time to break the spirit of poverty. But the only way to break the spirit of poverty is to understand that our God is generous and he wants to interrupt your life so that you will be a person of impact, that you'll be a person of influence, and that you'll bring change by the power and the blood of Jesus to this region. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I've always found, though, that it's very easy for other people to be okay with somebody else being blessed, but they themselves have a difficult time believing for themselves. It's easy for someone else to get prayed for and get healed. Well, praise the Lord for that. But what about me? And many times I've found that believers have a real strong, difficult time believing God for themselves. You see, you cannot believe something from God for yourself if you don't believe that God has it for you. You cannot receive unless you actually believe that God has made it for you. He'll always make it for somebody else, quote unquote. But how many of you actually believe that God wants to bless you, that God has blessing for your life, that God wants to rebuke cursing for your life, that God wants to prosper your life, that God wants to prosper your marriage, prosper your relationship with him, prosper your health, prosper your wealth? God wants you blessed and not cursed. Until you believe that, then you'll always be living substandard to what God's passion is. No, I didn't hear nothing. You see, whether you like it or not, and this is what we've been combating this year, is the mindset of religion. The mindset of religion has placed within the body of Christ that poverty is more spiritual than blessing. And I want you to hear this clearly. It does not matter how much you have or how much you don't have, it doesn't make you any more spiritual. You can go to hell with a nickel in your pocket, or you can go to hell with a billion in your pocket. Money and things have no direct impact on whether you're serving God, whether you're serving him with all of your heart. God is a God that's after the heart, not after the pocket. But the difficulty with this is those who have been indoctrinated and brainwashed by the religious church to actually believe that poverty is more spiritual, then they actually take a posture in prayer that is far more unique. They never pray that God will bless them. They never pray for things that are beyond their capabilities. They never believe really in faith because they don't want to stretch God's capabilities. But I'm here to tell you, you and I, by our prayer life, can identify whether we believe God is poor or whether we believe God is generous. How you pray is a direct impact or direct reflection on who you believe God actually is. And this is a scary thing. I was brought up in a church, but also in Bible school, that taught you don't want to ask God for too much stuff. You don't want to ask God for too many things in your life because, you know, God will give them to you when it's his will. But here we've been so warped by religion rather than getting into the Word. When you get into the Word, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. What's anything? What's anything? What is anything? You see, we have been so indoctrinated to believe that God is poor, he's just barely scraping by, and we kind of hope that he has enough in his pocket left over that if I really need him, he might show up. But I'm here to tell you who your God is. Your God is not weak. Your God is not poor. Your God is supernatural. Your God created. Your God has all access. Your God has all wealth. Your God has all healing. Your God has all forgiveness. There's nothing your God don't have if you are serving the one and true God of the Word of God. God passionately loves to generously interrupt our lives to bless us with his love and bless us with absolute blessing. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 25 is our verse for the year. It says, the generous soul shall be made rich. How many believe the Word of God is true? Well, not all of you, I can see. I said, how many believe the Word of God is true? Well, we got half the church. Hallelujah. All right, let's have a salvation call right now. I said, how many believe the Word of God is true? Then the Word of God says, the generous soul shall be made rich. That means when we posture ourselves in the very nature and character and personality of our Father God, who is generous, then God will bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. So when we're not stepping into that, we've got to ask ourselves a question. Maybe it's not because God doesn't have the capability. Maybe it's because you don't have the believer. He's just straight up ugly, and he's just ugly. Watch this. Here we go. James chapter 2, 14 through 18. Turn there with me. James chapter 2, 14 through 18. Everybody should be bringing your Bibles. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. The Bible. Everybody should listen, or I need someone to create an app for me, please. I need the app to sound like turning Bible pages. You should bring your Bible. Let me tell you why. You need to write in your Bible. You need to be able to write in it. God will speak to you. God will give a prophetic word to you. God will make something alive to you. You need to write it in your Bible, date it, and you'll find that you'll always be able to go back. There's no greater legacy than you can give your children than your Bible when you die. And if it's crisp, then it's really not a gift. Amen? I've had to recover this one. Praise the Lord for the alligator who died for Jesus. Glory to God. James chapter 2, 14 through 18 says this. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Let me read that one more time. What does it profit, brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute for daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things which they are need for in their body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if you do not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Which says this. If you are born again, works are part of your life. You are not saved by works. Can I hear an amen? By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2. I had to find that one. I turned the pages in my head. Ephesians chapter 2, we're not saved by works, but when you're saved, works are a normal part of your life. You see, God expects us to be generous with our time. God expects us to be generous with our money. God says, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You see, God by nature expects his church, when they have faith, to have works. That means that every one of us are fitly formed together. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we are the body of Christ, that every one of us are important, that every one of us have a job, that every one of us have a ministry, every one of us are a minister of the gospel of Christ, every one of us have a fit, and we are fit and formed together to accomplish the body's movement. You see, faith is not just faith if there are no works. Faith will always produce works, but works do not always produce faith. So God is calling his church back to a place where they're going to start obeying him. What is the obedience? The obedience is that you and I are actually starting to show forth the light of God, for we are the salt and we are the light. We are the preserver on this planet, and we are the only ones with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God and the salvation. No man can get saved unless he confesses Jesus Christ as his personal savior. The Bible says with the mouth that man is brought, with the mouth man confesses unto salvation, that those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. You see, this is all who the body of Christ is. What's interesting is, of course, Jesus first lived this for us. Christ was so generous. He gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. That's generosity. He did his generosity because he loves you and I, because he desires us to be washed in his blood, that we will have a relationship with Father God. For when we ask forgiveness, the blood of Christ washes away every sin and throws it as far as the east to the west and remembers it no more. You see, our salvation was a generous gift, a generous interruption from heaven to earth. And you and I have been blessed today because of that generous interruption. Today we are standing here because our Father God, who is so generous, has all that we need, everything that we desire in heaven. He's making it available because you and I now have the right to come before the throne of God boldly and bring our petitions before him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says this. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, the answer is already on the way. You see, as believers, where our believer is the level that we will receive. And the challenge is that many of us have been brought up to believe, subconsciously or consciously, that our God is weak, our God is pitiful, our God. Now, we'll sing, how great is our God, but when it's time to pray for something that's supernatural, we'll go, well, you know, Jesus, I'm hoping you're going to be around. Christ expects the church to have works, but Christ didn't expect it without doing it. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Whatever I say, whatever I do, the Father has instructed me to do. So we are seeing the very nature of our Father be released through the nature of the Son. And now that we're saved and we have the Holy Ghost dwelling within us with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, now we are literally the very Christ on the planet. I didn't say you were Jesus. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. In the life that I live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Now Christ is living through us. And what is the life that we need to live? The generous interruption of showing that our God is great, our God is good, our God loves people, our God forgives people, our God heals people, our God will bless people. He's a good God and not a bad God. Can I hear an amen? You see, if you don't believe that God wants to do generous interruptions in your life, we're not expecting it, then honestly, you are not going to ever get it. And if you don't get it, then what happens is you're never going to give it away. Matthew chapter 10 makes a statement. As freely as you have received, freely give. So if your mindset is a poverty God, then as freely as you've received the leftovers of heaven, you see, if your God has to pilfer through the garbage to make sure he has enough to give you something, then how in the world are you ever going to believe for something that you need as a miracle? If your God is so weak that you see him, now listen, well, I don't pray that way. Yes, you do. Because when it comes time for a miracle, you're praying, oh, God, please, if it's your will, I hope you work on my behalf. And this is the God that is over here as weakness, who's taking these bottles and cashing them in for a nickel. Oh, I'm sorry, 5.5 cents I saw it the other day. You get 5.5 cents, you're traded in. But you see, this is the mindset of the church. We have been duped into believing that poverty, our God is weak, that our God is unable to meet our needs. And I'm here to tell you today, our God is sitting and the throne of heaven, and Jesus Christ is on his right side, and you and I have access to everything that heaven has available. We are not weak, but we are strong. We are not poor, but we are rich. We are not sick, and we are healthy. I'm here to tell you today, we are the church, the body of God, and the body of God is recognized in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom is always evaluated through the blessed lifestyle of the people. Every kingdom is measured by how well the king takes care of his people. So when the people of God are living the poverty mentality in survival mode, when the body of Christ is living in this hope motion, well, I hope he shows up. Well, I hope he helps me. Well, you know, I don't want to ask God for too much, you know. I don't want to be greedy. You know, I just want the Lord to help me a little bit. Well, you know, I just need my needs met. I'm telling you right now.
Stop it.
Exactly. You made him. Because that's not who God is. That's not who my God is. That's not who the Word says he is. He says, I'll bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. How much can you imagine? How much can you believe? How big is your God? That is the question. The question is not that God doesn't want to do generous interruptions in your life to bring forth miracles that will just magnify his name and shock the people around you. But you see, if you don't ever believe, then you can't receive. And if you can't receive, then your God never remains majestic. Your God remains poverty stricken, poor, and weak. Can I hear an amen, Romai? You see, generous interruptions are normal for God. I mean, honestly, we could spend literally all day long, not even exaggerating, all day long, probably all night long, all day tomorrow, Tuesday. Why did I wear such a beautiful shirt? Because I'm letting the devil know he's got to let go. I'm letting winter know it's got to let go, too. Amen? Winter's got to let go. The interruptions are, I just want to mention a few of them. How about Elijah? You know, Elijah was a great man of God. One day, he called out 400 prophets of Baal. Fire came out of heaven, consumed them all. Pretty cool, right? A woman named Jezebel, after he fried all these prophets of Baal, a woman said, hey, I'm going to kill you. And he got so scared that he ran out into the woods and hid under a tree. The Bible says he went into a depression because of fear. He was so much in fear that he got depressed and got discouraged and actually told God, why don't you just kill me and get it over with? And I love this. 1 Kings chapter 19, 5 through 8. I can only read a portion of the scripture, but here we go. Then he looked, Elijah looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. You see, God, through this generous interruption, so saw that this man was discouraged and broken down that he interrupted his life, even in the midst of the depression, and showed up in his life with by an angel, baked a cake, and put water by his head. When he woke up, that interruption was so powerful that it started to encourage him. He went back to sleep, and when he got back up, there was still more food for him. You see, your God knows your every situation. Your God knows your every need. But if your God is over here, then you're still under the tree. You're still in depression. You're still discouraged. You're still wondering if you're going to make it. But if your God is over here, then you know that if God is for you, who can be against you? That even Jezebel has to fall in Jesus' name. The power of God is within me, and I can stand. And after I've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore. You see, as a believer, that's the whole point, is what you believe is what you receive. And if you believe the word of God for who God is, not what religion has made him, then you can't walk around in survival mode. So many believers are in survival mode. We're just hoping the trumpet of God sounds real quick so we can get out of here. Listen, you weren't saved to go to heaven. Heaven's the cherry on top. You were saved to have a relationship with God. And you're still here on this earth. How many of you know you're still here on this earth? Well, pinch the person next to you, make sure they're still here too. You're still here on this earth because God's got a divine plan for your life. And the divine plan for your life is not for you to remain in survival mode where you're just kind of barely making it by, asking God not for too much, you know, because you don't want to stress out heaven. But you know your God. You walk in the authority and the power of his name. You can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, and you shall have what you ask. We can stand firm in the kingdom of God and bind every devil. See, that's the point. Is some of you, you've made, you know, your God's unavailable. You've prayed, God, where are you? God, I don't see you moving in my life. This is the issue. Because if this is the God you believe in, then he is going to be absent. But my God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the earth. I want you to know that your God says, I am not too far. My arm is not too short. I am able to reach you and touch you and bring forth miracles in your life. You see, how you believe is how you receive. How about Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel was... He was told that he couldn't pray anymore, and Darius, the king, was duped. And so, you know, I love Daniel. He decided he was going to pray no matter what the consequences were. He was not going to shirk his time with God. So he went and he started praying, and he opened the window so that people could see him. He did that every single day. He didn't change what he was doing because of threats. So all of a sudden, you know, they made sure they arrested Daniel, brought him before Darius, and Darius was sad that he made the decree, but he still had to follow through. So what ended up happening was this, is that he was thrown in the lion's den. But I want you to see that your God is a God of generous interruptions. Even when it seems like you're going to die, even when it seems like there's no hope, even when it seems like everybody's against you, I want you to know that God will shut the mouth of the lion through a divine interruption, a generous interruption. He will always be there. You see, the Bible says in Daniel 6, 21 and 22, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God, who is your God? My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lion so that they would not hurt me because I found innocent before him. How about the three Hebrew boys? They refused to bow to the idol. They refused to compromise their walk with God. They refused to turn against what God was speaking to their lives. And because of that, Nebuchadnezzar was so ticked off. He said, if you won't worship my idol that I've erected, then you're going to die. And they said, then we're going to die, because if we don't die, my God, no matter what, is still God. So Neb was so ticked off, he fired up the oven 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be. So hot that the men who threw them in the oven, the furnace, actually burned up alive. So here now are the three the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing in the midst of the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar is watching this with glee. But you see, I want you to see that your God is a God of generous interruptions. When everything seems to be against you, that your God will always show up with you. And all Neb looked over and he saw not three, but he saw four. And that one looked like the Son of Man. And the Bible declares that when they stepped out of the oven, they didn't even smell like smoke. How about Jesus? Jesus died, rose again. The disciples lost hope. They went back to their fishing business. They had fished all night long. I'm talking like they were professional fishermen. This was their job. They say Peter had three mid-sized ships, which means he was a very successful businessman. Here he is. He's out there and he's fishing. They fished all night long. They didn't catch nothing. And somebody from the banks shouted out to them, "Hey, throw your net to the other side." Generous interruption. Generous interruption. They weren't expecting it. They didn't know. They just looked at what they could see. But their God is able to do abundantly. And all of a sudden, they threw their nets to the other side. And when they did, the catch was so big that they couldn't even draw it in themselves. Peter recognized that it was Jesus then. He stripped down to his skivvies, dived into the water. When he got to the beach, this is what I love the most. This is what I mean by that generous, that over abundantly above Christ that we serve, that generous interruption. Jesus had breakfast cooking on the beach. Not only were they blessed because of the abundance of the fish, because our God spoke to the fish and said, "Get into the net." But Jesus, with his generosity, then made breakfast for them because they had worked all night long. You see, even when you don't expect it, your God is able and your God is willing, and he'll even make breakfast for you. You see, Jesus is awesome. You know, how about the woman caught in adultery? Here's Christ. Do you know that Jesus was the only one who had the right to throw stones at her head? Remember, Jesus said, "He who's without sin, let him cast the first stone." He was the only one without sin. But his generous interruption was this. He said, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "They're all gone." He said, "Then you go and sin no more." I want you to know today that even in the midst of your sin, God knows, and the generosity of forgiveness is available for you. He loves you with an everlasting love, an uncompromising love. He'll never give up on you. Your God is a generous God who strives to interrupt you from your sin to bring you closer to him. You see, this is just who your daddy is. But again, we've got to get back to, we can't be people of the generous interruptions if we don't believe it's for us. If we're actually believing that our God has to pick through the garbage to give us our give us what we pray for, then we're in trouble. You know, my wife and I've learned something since the kids left the house, is that I'm going to starve to death without the children. Honestly, I don't know the last time she went grocery shopping. She went grocery shopping for the children. Always. Every Friday, we have family breakfast. It's something we do. Now, we eat together on Wednesday nights. We eat together on Friday nights. And we eat together every Sunday afternoon. We spend a lot of time with our family. And you know one thing, I said that I would starve to death without that. And so one day, you know, she's making breakfast out there for family breakfast. And, you know, she's making French toast. She's not making French toast out of Wonder Bread. She goes out and she buys, you know, the thick Italian loaf stuff. And then she bakes it and she puts it in there. And she's putting confectionery sugar on it. And she's putting blueberries. This is for our kids. She's putting blueberries on there. And thank the Lord. And then we got Mrs. Buttersworth. Can I hear an amen for Mrs. Buttersworth in the place? Come on now. Amen. And so then you think that's it? No. 3 pounds of bacon. Not just 3 pounds of bacon. Then we've got eggs. Then we've got eggs. As many eggs as you want. And then she's got a yogurt bar. Now, this is for our kids. She's got a yogurt bar. This is every Friday that we eat at our house. It is amazing to me. But you know what I have found is that she's going to give her very best to her kids. Maybe not to her husband, but the very best to her kids. Those kids are going to make sure, man, they capitalize on this. You know that, right? The kids capitalize. You know, I took Chad to supper last night, and he gets out of my truck. And before he gets out, he starts scanning the back seat. I said, what are you doing? He said, what are you trying to take something? He goes, if I see it, I like it, I'm taking it. You laugh, I wasn't. Because he meant it. But you see, this is the powerful part about God. We've always blessed our children. I spanked my children. We didn't spoil our kids. We blessed our children. You see, our kids can believe God. Why? Because we have always pointed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that God has all access and all sufficiency. And there's nothing that you cannot have. There's nothing you cannot believe for. That God is able to do abundantly above. He'll do whatever we need because our God is good. But those who use Wonder Bread, thank you, God. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you realize the greatest renewing of your mind has nothing to do with the world's mindset? It has to do with the church's mindset. I've seen more people destroyed by the church mindset than the world's mindset. They might come out of bondage to go to heaven, but they went back into bondage. They came out of sin to go back into bondage. Because the way the church shows who our God is, it's a survival God rather than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, this is where it all comes down to the bottom line. Because unless we transform, and unless our mind is renewed, then we're going to believe the way we were taught. And we've got to start believing the way the Word says, not the way the religion has taught us. That our God is more than just sufficient. You see, well, my grace is sufficient. I've heard that 10 billion times. I just want to slap the next person who says it in the love of the Lord, of course, with the fivefold ministry gifts. Well, you know, God's grace is sufficient. The word sufficient there doesn't mean making it. The word sufficient there means that of everything you need, I have available. My grace is sufficient for you. There's nothing that you lack. There's nothing that's missing. There's nothing that's broken. My God is able to do it because he loves you. He longs for you. Just like my wife will spoil my kids, your God, my God, will spoil his kids. If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father wants to bless you. See, in this room, I know we've had many generous interruptions. How many of you have been healed before in this room? God has interrupted your life and healed your body. What were you healed of? My wife, I know, was healed of cancer. Somebody else, come on, what were you healed of? Restored eyesight. Come on, somebody else. Diabetes, glory to God. Come on, yes. Breast cancer, come on, somebody else. Put bones back together. Breast cancer. Come on, somebody else. Yes. God healed his knees. They were supposed to be. He's 80 some odd years old too. Dear Lord. Come on, somebody else. Yes. Sciatic nerve. Come on, somebody else. Yes. Huh? Hardened heart. Yes. Mental illness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on. Breast cancer twice. Uterine tumor that the doctor said the baby would not be able to live, correct? How old is he now? 7 years old. God has done so many generous interruptions. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for you. He doesn't love one kid more than the other. He's never played favoritism a day in eternity. I was going to say a day in his life, but his life is eternity. A day in eternity. My God, he loves you so much. Come on now. How many of you have had a divine interruption in your finances where God has done a supernatural thing in your money? I know God forgave debt $10,000. I know somebody in the morning service, $70,000. Somebody else was $80,000. How many of you had a divine interruption in the back? $60,000. Come on, somebody else. Somebody else? 9,000. How many of you had a miracle of 1,000 before? Amen. Listen now, if you had no miracle in your finances, maybe because you're believing that God. No, but you stink. See, if you need a miracle in your finances, the Bible says that if you're a tither and a sower, he has no problem blessing you with all of heaven. Listen, all you got to do is pray, and the Bible says that God will give you a piece of pavement. You need one. My question is today is simple. Expectations is the breeding grounds for miracles. And if you're believing in this God, then you have no expectations, therefore you have no miracles. If you're believing in the true one and only God of the Word of God, then you know there's nothing impossible if you only believe. Then you know you can call those things which are not as though they already are. Then you know that the impossible is nothing but a word, because there is no such thing as an impossibility with our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That God is able to do abundantly above. It's so powerful to recognize that who you believe in is exactly how you receive it. If he's stingy, poor, barely making it by, then that's why you are too. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with someone coming poor to the kingdom. But if you're remaining poor in the kingdom, it means you're not applying the king's principles. Because when you apply the king's principles, you can't remain poor. Oh, you think I'm talking about money? Oh, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your marriage. I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about your money. I'm talking about every facet of your life. Make Jesus first and see him for who he is, not what your mind might make him to be. I'm going to end with this verse. You ready? Jeremiah 29:11 is Pastor Andre's favorite verse. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for bad and not for good. To destroy you and not to build you up. To make you a failure and never to be a success. To curse you with sickness and never bring health. Oh, that's not what the Bible says? That's just how some of you pray? For I know the plans that I have for you, says the, who said it? Who said it? Is he a liar? If God's not a liar and his word is true, then isn't it time to believe that this is for you? For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. God knows plans. He has plans for your life. You're not an accident. You're not in survival mode. You're not just making it by. You're a child of the Most High God. Put your shoulders back and your heads high. Walk in the blood of the man, the Lamb, and know that you're forgiven and that God has sent you here as an ambassador with a message of life for the people of God. Yeah, these are the plans. These plans, they are good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Today, I want you to know that your God is awesome. And some of us have to have our minds renewed. We have been so twisted and warped with who and how we believe. See, he's always leaving you. It's time to stop digging in the garbage of heaven. And it's time to start seeing your God as the God of access, that he has everything available for you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there loss of a relationship with God in heaven? Is there sin in heaven? Is there poverty in heaven? Then what did he tell us to do? He said, bring it to earth. But you can't bring it to earth if you don't believe it's for you. And you can't give generous interruptions in somebody else's life unless you believe it's for you first. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't give to somebody else. Freely as you receive, freely give. You can't give to somebody else unless you've gotten it first. It's time to place yourself in a receiving mode and see God for who he is, not who religion has painted him to be. Amen? Ooh, that's good, isn't it? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is living and powerful, and that Jesus, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Holy Spirit, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will start to exercise us, that you'll get in our heart and in our minds, in our thinking. Lord, we choose to take into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against the word of God. We declare, Jesus, we want to see you in a new facet. We want to see you in a new way. We want to experience you, God. Lord, we need divine, supernatural, generous interruptions in our lives that, Jesus, we may be able to have a testimony to give to somebody saying, our God is amazing. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been washed by the blood of Christ, you've never had your sins forgiven and washed away, you don't have a relationship with God, and you're not sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven. Today, the generous God has a generous gift for you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus has eternity for you today. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church, not asking you to join religion. I want you to know Jesus. If you do not know Christ and you want him in your life, you want the generous forgiveness of God, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm going to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He is faithful and true. Is there anyone this morning that wants Jesus as their Savior? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and thank you, way, way back. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Stand to our feet this morning. I know I almost went and preached the everlasting gospel, but you're going to be all right. We have for you at the end of service, I don't know if there are any left, Pastor Dan, there are none left. We had 2,000 invitation cards that you could start doing generous interruptions with. We're going to have to order some more. We went through 2,000 of them. First service took them all. We're going to have to get another 2,000 just for you. Is that all right? This church, we believe that our God is great. Nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. That our God is powerful and supernatural. And I want you to see this in your life. And that's what we're praying for. Today, if you're struggling in your life and you need someone to agree with you, I'd like the prayer team to come to the front of the altar, please. We want to pray with you, agree with you. If you've not accepted Christ as your Savior and you did not raise your hand, I want you to meet me right up front. When we release, I want you to come meet me right up front. We want to pray with you, lead you to the best friend. Now, if you look at the screen, I hate this part of the screen now. I do not walk on these streets. I walk on these streets. I walk with this God. Father, release blessing in the name of Jesus. I declare, Lord, that you will give divine, supernatural, generous interruptions in our lives this week, that God will put our faith to believe that the impossibility will have to turn because our God has access and the ability to break it free. Lord, we release the angels to move on our behalf. We release right now the supernatural power and the anointing to destroy every yoke of bondage, that, Lord, the people of this house will walk blessed and not cursed, healed and not sick, prosperous and not lacking. We declare it in Christ's name for the glory of God. And everybody shouted. I said everybody shouted. If you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you at the guest reception. If you raised your hand for salvation or didn't but want to, come down front, meet me right down front.
My God is awesome.